of the Power of Us podcasts are not licensed therapists, medical professionals, legal advisors, or certified experts. The views and opinions expressed by the host are based on personal experiences and are intended solely for informational, inspirational, and educational purposes.
Hello, my name is JJ Holly.
And I'm Monica Daniel.
And welcome to another episode of The Power of Us, where we try to bring awareness to organizations and entities that just provide services and help to different people, different groups around Montgomery County. And today it is my distinct pleasure to welcome Ms. Billy Beasley with Journey Home. So Billy, welcome.
Welcome, Billy.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, thank you. Tell us a little bit about your background.
My background is I come from a family of 10, and there was abuse in my family all my childhood. And so even though my mom tried to make a really happy home, my dad didn't. And so it was broken, you know, I was broken. And so that's where I started out at.
And what led you to, what did you do professionally?
Before Journey Home, for years, when my husband and I first came to know the Lord in, 1990 something, it was 37 years ago. I was at home with three littles, and they were 4, 5, and 6, and we had just recently had a huge life change in coming to Jesus. And so we right away, my heart was turned to children, because I believe that every child should have a safe and healthy, happy home, mm-hmm. you know, in childhood. And so we started doing foster care. I just happened to meet a lady at a store near our house, and she did foster care, and I was just intrigued. And so we did that for years, and ended up, my youngest son, as a matter of fact, is adopted through CPS. But we had kids in and out of our home. And then as my kids grew, I started doing ministry at the Juvenile Detention Center in downtown Houston, and did that for 20 years. And I worked for Pregnancy Assistance Center North, and that's a crisis pregnancy center that helps with diapers, baby clothes, pregnancy tests, ultrasounds. You know, it's a pro-life organization. And so just working in the detention center and also with the pregnancy center and seeing so many young people that I felt like it was a great thing to help them, you know, have the different things they needed. But I knew that as a child, I needed a safe place. Mm-hmm. I needed a safe place and safe people to heal. And so just for years, I would say to people, I want to open a maternity home. I don't know if I believed myself it was going to happen, but, you know, that's what God had in store for me to do. And so it's been 6.5 years now. In 2019, I set out to get my 501c3. Mm-hmm. Did not want to do that. It sounded mm-hmm. huge. But in doing that, brought together, God had already put me around so many people in that arena with working with the pregnancy center. So with doing that, pulled together a board of people who had been in that area already. And things just happened. I mean, it just kept going and growing.
Sometimes it just clicks.
It did. Mm-hmm. And we started doing our fundraising and our, you know, of course, completed our 501c3. When they sent it back from the state, it said that our date of start was April 1st, which I thought was pretty hilarious. So we started on April Fool's Day. But by the end, you know, the board that I had gathered were very wonderful, intellectual people. And they said, you have to have 6 months operating costs before you can open.
Wow.
And I mean, I would have opened with no operating cost, but thank you, Lord, for sending me those people. But by December, we had done enough fundraising that we had enough operating costs for 6 months. And so January of 2020, we opened our doors.
So you said, I'm sorry, because I find it fascinating about you talking about your pain growing up as a child. And it's amazing that you turned your pain into purpose. And hence, you know, the journey home. Tell us about the journey home and what you do for people in the community.
Well, I'll tell you, turning your pain into purpose is part of healing.
Mm-hmm.
But Journey Home is a beautiful, safe, loving home. I mean, we have staff and volunteers that are there and a house mom. And we do a lot of trauma training. And the ladies that we bring in, and they, you know, they can stay there. At first, when they come, we want them to just relax and kind of get out of survival mode. And then we start with a process of setting them up with a mentor, and the mentor will find out what their dreams are, what their goals are. And then we just one by one try to help them accomplish those goals. And so, I mean, they take parenting classes. They, if they haven't graduated high school, they work on their GED. If they've graduated high school and they want to do something, and say in the nursing field, you know, that we would help find them the finances to do that. So we work with other organizations mm-hmm. in the community to set them up with funding so that they can accomplish the things that they want to accomplish.
Wow. So is there, are they all pregnant, or do they have to be pregnant, or do they have children to get into? What is the process and of being able to be placed with Journey Home?
Well, so first of all, we might get a call from a hotline, you know, because we're associated with Heartbeat International. Or we might get a call from an emergency room, or maybe just a young lady who has found our website online just by Googling. You know, I mean, you can Google pregnant and homeless, mm-hmm. and it'll come up with different places. And so the process would be, she would call in, we would talk to her and figure out, are we a good fit for you, or is there somewhere else that would be a better fit? Because we do take in ladies that are not pregnant, but on the okay. most part, we try to save our rooms for ladies that are pregnant, just because that's a very difficult time, and there are a lot of organizations that don't take in women that are mm-hmm. pregnant. And so if she's not pregnant, you know, there's other places that can help them find a spot. So,
and they would need, if they're pregnant, they would need health care. They need different resources than someone who isn't.
Pregnancy is a very special area. Yeah. And it takes, you know, we have nurses that work with us. We have a doctor that works with us. But on the most part, when they come to us, they're on Medicaid already. Okay. And so it's kind of easy for them to find health care, to be honest. But finding a safe place to sleep, and not just that, but not being in survival mode, because, I mean, you know, for instance, I could talk to a young woman who is out on the streets, and she's got a phone, and that's common, mm-hmm. you know, but she's out on the streets and she hasn't eaten in 2 days. And I'm like, oh, you have to get something in there, right?
Wow.
You know, you've got to eat. So, I mean, that they usually come in a pretty hard survival mode.
So when they come in, there's a program waiting for them. And is that one of the requirements to go through the program in order to be able to stay?
It is.
Okay.
We have a handbook, and we go, you know, we'll do several interviews, and we'll try to get them to a safe spot while we're doing that. But there, you know, we really talk through with them, look, this is it. We do shelter people, but it's not a shelter. It's a mm-hmm. program.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to, you know, you're going to need to agree to take parenting classes. We want you to try to eat healthy. I know that's, you know, that can be difficult because we've all grown up eating something and we think mm-hmm. it's okay. But, you know, for instance, if she has, gestational diabetes, which is something that you get when you're pregnant, mm-hmm. She can't eat a lot of sugar. I mean, she just has to follow her doctor's recommendation. We have people that help teach them to cook. Each lady is required to cook one meal a week for the household. And if she doesn't know how to cook, someone will help her. But some of them love it. They love that they get an opportunity to do that. Everybody's got their own responsibilities as far as helping to keep the house up. There's not a house mom that lives in the house, but she lives on site in her apartment.
How long is the process typically, or the program, I should say? How long does the program last?
It's up to her.
Okay.
We ask her that if you're going to commit to coming in, we would like you to commit to trying to stick with it at least until 6 months after the baby's born. That way, because it's really hard. It's hard to get a job when you're pregnant. Mm. It's hard to...
Daycare.
Mm. Right.
It's a huge barrier.
After you have the baby and they're on Medicaid, they can get daycare. They can get help with the state, but... To be honest, you never know when that's going to drop. So we have churches that work with us, and I have sent letters out for the last couple of years, and there are churches that will give us funding just for childcare. Mm-hmm. Because if she can have childcare, she can work on getting her license, she can work on getting her GED, she can have a job, she can take the child back and forth to daycare. We've had God's Garage works with us, and occasionally they'll help our mom get a vehicle.
So you do work with a lot of different agencies to help kind of patch together these different services. Mm-hmm.
There are so many different services out there, and that's what I would, you know, if I knew someone that was starting a healing journey, I would recommend to them, find a safe place, find safe people. And that sounds really difficult and challenging, because when you're out there and all you've got is a cell phone, mm-hmm. How do you do that? Churches, go, you know, get in touch with churches, big churches that have missions ministries. If they've got missions ministries, they've got missions pastors. I know quite a few in the Montgomery area. They've got missions ministries, and those ministries help sponsor and support each one of those ministries. Yep. And so there are, you know, there's ministries for alcoholics, there's mm-hmm. ministries for people who have been trafficked. Mm-hmm. There's ministries for young moms who are pregnant and homeless.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's one of the things you said earlier, was sometimes when they're searching for help, they're vulnerable, and then they're sometimes taken advantage of.
Right.
In that process.
Right. I mean, that's where a lot of our trafficked victims come from. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got a young girl who has been kicked out of her house because she's pregnant. And honestly, that's not as much nowadays. That's not the scenario. But I mean, when that happens, what happens to that young girl? She goes to the middle of downtown. She's walking around trying to figure out what to do. Somebody stops to help her, you know. Or even going into a shelter. When you've got a young woman going into a shelter with people that might have been on the streets for years, that can, you know, that can lead her into that same pattern. Mm-hmm. And so when a lady comes into Journey Home, that's one less mom going through the cycle of homelessness. And that's one more child that won't go through CPS care, because I don't know how your words on this, but sometimes that's a crapshoot with the parents you might get. I was a foster parent, and our home was a safe home.
Yeah.
But
you never know.
You don't know. You don't know.
How do you determine who would be a good fit for Journey Home?
When we talk to these young ladies, I mean, honestly, because we can only take so many. Mm-hmm. And I do have, if we don't take somebody, we have places we will work with them until they find a place to go. Because mm-hmm. there are different places.
Okay.
For instance, if she is currently addicted to drugs, mm-hmm. she needs to go into rehab. Mm-hmm. We're not a drug rehab mm-hmm. facility, and we would probably hurt more than help. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to work with Santa Maria downtown. And, you know, I have gotten girls that have gone through the program there, and then they come to Journey Home. Wow. One young lady in 2020 did that, and now she works for my daughter, mm-hmm. and she's, you know, in insurance, and she's doing amazing and getting married, and, wow. you know, I mean, a total life turnaround.
I love to hear about the success stories.
Yeah. Well, the other ones are hard. And it's really hard when we have a young lady that leaves early. That's probably one of the hardest parts, when we know she's not ready. But one time my daughter, who's in ministry, said to me, she said, "Mom, a lot of people that have been through trauma may need 5 different programs or homes to go to before they're successful. You might be number 1 for them. You might be number 5. But if number 3 and 4 is not there, they're not going to make it to number 5. So now we're starting to look at it, and especially when you take younger ones, you know. I know when I was young, I wouldn't have stayed at Journey Home. You know, I mean, I would have had to been, you know, at least in my early 20s, but because I didn't want to listen to anybody. Mm-hmm. I thought I knew everything, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying every one of them do, but
that's pretty typical of teenagers.
Yeah. And so if we can, especially if you've had trauma, then you've not even developed to the age you are, maybe. Right. But if we can be there even for them and help them get to a higher level than what they were, help them understand who they are in Christ, you know, I mean, they're valuable. That's the one thing. When I came to Jesus, I realized, oh my gosh, I have value. I actually matter. When the King of the world visits you in your home and nobody else cares, you know that you matter, you know? And so, and every one of them do. They're just all at different places in their journey. And so I love the name Journey Home because, you know, my husband and I were visiting a church back in 2018, and the pastor prayed for Journey Home Church, and I told my husband, I said, maybe we're supposed to go there, because I just felt this like stirring in me, you know. And he said, no, I think we're where we're supposed to be. We're at Restoration Wood Forest. And so we're driving home, and we happened to pass that church that he was praying for, and it was Journey Church. And I just felt the Lord say, you've been asking me for a name. And I was like, Journey Home, Journey Home. Oh my goodness. They're journeying home. Mm-hmm. We're literally helping them journey home.
Would you have to be from the area in order to be considered, or is it people all across the country?
This is a great question. Because, you know, there are over 450 maternity homes in the United States alone. However, our first guest came from Massachusetts.
Wow.
So her aunt happened to live in the area, and she had heard about Journey Home, and she came to meet me, and she, you know, her niece came to live with us. So we get calls from all over. And if somebody is from around here and we don't have space, there are other homes and other, you know, we have a Facebook page. Mm-hmm. And it's like, hey, does anybody have a availability for a girl this age and she's this far along? And, you know, you got to give a little detail so they know that they can, you know, that's what they accept.
Maybe you can tell our listeners the Facebook page. What is the name of the Facebook page?
Well, the Facebook page is a closed Facebook page. Okay. It's for maternity homes.
Gotcha.
So, I mean, but each maternity home, most of them that I know of, have a Facebook page.
Okay.
And so, I mean, we have Journey Home TX.
Okay.
And there are, I think if you would Google maternity homes, we try to keep a list of maternity homes. Every girl that calls, we put out there, here's a list you can call, you know, here's places. If you don't find something, call me. And sometimes I've even, you know, called different places. Hey, can you take this lady in? She really needs immediate help. So
I'm pregnant. I have, children, and I'm looking for a place to live, to stay, at least until I can give birth to my child.
Right.
Someone says, hey, I know of a place, Journey Home. I pick up the phone and I give you a call. What's the process?
Well, first I'm going to ask you how many children you have. Mm-hmm. And this is a problem because most maternity homes don't take in ladies with children.
Mm-hmm.
And that was something that we really just right off the bat felt, this is a need. We've got to meet this need. But we only take ladies with one, because if you can imagine taking 4 ladies, mm-hmm. you got newborns, you've got toddlers, you've mm-hmm. got you know, it can be a really full house and hard. We need more. We need more. We're the only one in Montgomery County that I know of right now.
How big is the home?
The home is, we have, it's, I think it's over 2,000 square feet. And it has four bedrooms upstairs. Four bedrooms,
okay.
Yeah. And those are the rooms. It has a room downstairs that is for our relief house parent.
Mm-hmm.
Because when our house parent needs to take time off, we have somebody come in just to make sure everything, you know, stays calm and secure. And that's really cool because our ladies that have left in the past, some of them come back to do relief house parenting.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Yeah. Look, ladies that work for us now that are past guests. And I'll tell you, they make the best because they know.
Yeah.
They get it.
They get it.
Yeah.
Are you looking to expand?
I would love to expand. I mean, there's a big need. There's different areas that could be expanded. There are underage, which is a licensed facility with the state. And that's a whole different ballgame. I've done foster care, so I understand that area. There's also immediate rescue kind of homes that are just temporary, you know, for 30, 60, 90 days so that they can go in somewhere and be safe to see if they will stay or they will, you know, sometimes people want a place to lay their head a couple nights and that's it. I mean, you know, but a place that can be, and we have small children in our home. And so we don't just bring somebody in. I mean, they've got to go through interviews. They've got to go through background check. We have to make sure they're safe for the kids that are there.
And they have to be 18 and older.
In our home, they have to be 18 and older.
Okay. So, go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, we generally, our home, and you kind of find your niche, but our home generally takes those that haven't been around the block two and three times. Like, they probably haven't lost three kids to CPS.
Oh.
I mean, it just, because of who we do take in, we kind of keep that a little bit more secure because a lot of times we'll take in 18, 19-year-olds. This is their first pregnancy. Mm. Or a 32-year-old who might have one child that is living with someone else and she's lost the ability to have that child and she's pregnant again. And now, you know, now she's determined, I really want to do this right. I want to reconnect with my other child. I want to get on my feet. So.
What are some, you mentioned one success story, what are some other success stories that you've seen?
Oh my goodness. That's my favorite people in the world. So Lena, I guess I can say her name on here. I don't know.
Sure.
Okay. You have to cut that. But Lena came the first year and she left when she had the baby because she went to stay with her sister, but she couldn't stay there because there's renters rules.
Mm-hmm.
And so she left and I said, okay, but I'm going to hold your room for 3 weeks because I just think it's not time for you to leave. So she ended up calling me and she came back. And when she came back, she got her medical assistant certification. She now works in a girls' home up in Kansas near her family. And she is just beautiful, wonderful soul, you know, who is successful and now helping other people.
I think that's the thing that means so much to me about this is you've got people who you've helped that come back.
Right.
And help.
Right. Yeah.
That is wonderful.
That is. And honestly, Karen and I, so Karen is my she's my director of programming. And yesterday we had asked two ladies to do a phone call with us and we were asking them, what can we do to help ladies that come into Journey Home feel more empowered, feel more like adults? Because at first, you know, we were a little bit like, okay, we got a parent, we got to be, you know, and people were like, hey, back off, you know, but we want to help empower them and yet help guide them in the right direction.
That's a really delicate balance.
It is. You know? It is.
How do you strike that?
You learn. You mess up and you learn and you go back and you do it over and you ask those that you've helped, hey, what can we do? What made you feel like you wanted to leave when you were there? What made you feel closed in? We want to try to you know, take that away as much as we can without making it unsafe for everybody. You know, like I said to one of the ladies that I talked to a couple weeks ago, I said, hey, I was asking her the same question. And she said, I said, should we not have a curfew? She said, oh, no, you can't do that. And I knew we couldn't, but I kind of wanted to see how she felt about it after leaving. And she was like, no, don't do that. Even though I didn't want a curfew when I was there, don't do that. And I've had a couple of the ladies tell me that one of the biggest things that helped us in being there, of course, was the spiritual aspect, because mm-hmm. you're giving them an opportunity to meet with Christ. Mm-hmm. I mean, just providing the setting, you know, because God will do the rest. But they said one of the biggest things that helped us was helping us learn to be organized and putting our things on a calendar and mm-hmm. keeping things neat and in order and, you know, just taking things one step at a time to be successful. And, you know.
How does one, if someone's looking to volunteer their time, how does that work?
They would call the number that's on the website. There also on the website, there is a there's a little form to fill out.
Can you share the name of the website?
The website is journeyhometx.org, same as Facebook, journeyhometx. And they would go on there, they would fill that out. Someone would get in touch with them, and we would do training. You know, they would fill out an application. We have a short application. And after that, I would do an interview. Then we have a training process, because in trauma, you have to know how to help her, because someone is going to react the way they've reacted their whole life, the way they've mm-hmm. been taught to react. And so it takes love and patience and mercy and, you know, repeating things sometimes over and over again to turn a corner mm-hmm. with, you know, because sometimes it's our behaviors that are causing us to fall, mm-hmm. right? And stay in the same cycle. But if we can be merciful and patient and learn how, because the brain has developed according to the trauma that we've mm-hmm. experienced. And so TCU, Karen Purvis, worked at a TCU and did amazing trauma training in her years. I mean, she's passed away since, but she does amazing trauma training and showing us what trauma causes in our life. And so, you know, we've got to work with the trauma, mm-hmm. you know. And
I love that you're not only providing shelter, but you're providing a program to set them up for success.
Yes.
I think that's very important. And, you know, a lot of people can say, hey, you can stay here until you have the baby. But you're taking it a step further and saying, okay, well, there's a program, there's a process that we would like for you to go through so you can be successful on your own.
Right, right. Because otherwise, I mean, if we don't have certain things in place before they leave, I mean, we would like them to have a vehicle. We'd like them to have a stable living environment that's not on someone's sofa, because that can change very quickly as soon as y'all have your first argument. Secure childcare, secure job. Right. You know, if you can get those things, I mean, we have a requirement for savings. They have to save 70% of their earnings while they're there, because, and that's in their bank account. But the reason for that is it's going to take a lot just to get set up. I mean, there are ministries that will help furnish your new apartment and help decorate it, and wow. they'll do it for Journey Home Success Stories. Wow. You know, if you finish the program, they'll do that. They want to make sure it's going to be somebody that'll, you know, that'll be responsible and keep what they're doing. But when you do that, I mean, it's changing our community. Mm-hmm. This is changing our community at the very base of the community. You know, it's not just a handout, and there are things expected, but it's helping them.
Well, it also gives them value when they're investing in themselves.
Yes,
and absolutely. Seeing those foundational, you know, blocks sort of get set for them, right. Then they can build and build and build on that. And that's setting them up for success.
You don't really go back after that. Once you've had that kind of success and stayed with something that long, it's easier to keep moving forward.
So. And you've got to build that. That takes those months you were talking about to really change old habits into constructive habits and set themselves up.
Pregnancy is a great time to do that. Because when a woman is pregnant, she's thinking of somebody else now. Mm-hmm. She's thinking of, I need to do this for my child. And that's why a lot of times when they've lost one, and we can help get them reconnected to that child. But if they've lost one, then they know, they're like, oh, if I keep doing this, the same is going to happen. So now I need to do this for that person. And honestly, that's a really good time to step in and say, I want to help you do that.
Yeah, there could be anybody who needs help has to be receptive to getting that help.
They do. They
That's the hardest part for a lot of us. Is, you know.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. It is a hard part. But, man, I'm telling you, when nobody else cared for me, Jesus did. You know, and I know that with my past, for him to come visit me, I'll be honest, on my bathroom floor in my home, I was blown away. I was like, that's where I first felt the light and the love of God, on my knees on my bathroom floor.
Wow.
And so for him to do that, he wants me to do no less for others. So.
Is there anything else you would like to touch on that you feel like we didn't cover?
I think we did cover it, but I just really want people to know that it's hard to know where to reach out to, mm-hmm. but you can call churches. Mm-hmm. Probably not every one of them, but there are churches that have programs, and they connect with ministries, and they can help you find what you need. If you really want to do life differently, there are so many programs out there to help. There really are a lot of things. We just need to know how to find them. And there's hotlines, you know.
That's a great starting point.
Absolutely. Right? Well, thank you, Billy, for coming here and sharing your story with the Power of Us and all you do throughout the community. We appreciate you turning your pain into purpose. And for our listeners, we encourage you to turn your pain into purpose. And if you or someone that you know may be in a crisis or facing homelessness, an unplanned pregnancy, help is available to you. We will have these resources posted for you as well. And we appreciate you tuning in to The Power of Us, where real talk meets real change. And please follow us on our Facebook page. Share this episode with someone you may think is in a crisis or in need. And thank you, Billy. We appreciate your time.
Thank you.